subject, but I want to take today to put a little different twist on things. It's something I've been thinking about lately. Don't worry, I'm not having a midlife crisis, as far as you know. The subject has come up a couple times lately. Podcast I listened to, a discussion I had at work, a feeling that I've had due to things I've been involved with lately. Not a midlife crisis, I don't think. Happiness is a temporary thing. Happiness happens in a moment. It can be fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. But everyone seems to be pursuing it. Thousands of books written about it, videos, webinars, webcasts, podcasts, everything you can think of, have been produced trying to help people find happiness. People look for it everywhere, in material things, in relationships, in wealth, music, fame, you name it, we can probably find happiness in it somewhere. The pursuit is everywhere, in every part of our lives. Advertising, the whole advertising message is, buy this and you will be happy. Doesn't matter if it's yogurt or a car, somehow it's going to make us happy. We see it in other people. We look at other people and they seem to be happy. So I have to have what they have and I can be happy too. It seems that we're encouraged to seek happiness as a measure of a successful life. If you've lived your life and you are happy, you nail it, is what the message seems to be. So what does happiness mean? So of course I Googled happiness, because that's what Pastor Mark would do. And the first things that popped up were videos. The first one that popped up was The Science of Happiness. Subject, how to fight negativity and be happier. Okay? Second one that popped up, same thing, The Science of Happiness. Here's the simple first step to becoming happier. And the next one popped up, the formula for a happy life. You get the idea. Happiness is now a science. It's a formula. It's a 12-step program to get to happiness. So, how do we define happiness? So, again, I looked it up, as Pastor Mark would do. And the definition on the online dictionary of happy is a feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. So what is pleasure and contentment then? Pleasure is the feeling of happy satisfaction and enjoyment. Okay? So what is enjoyment? Enjoyment, the state or process of taking pleasure in something. What about satisfaction? Fulfillment of one's wishes, expectations, or needs, or the pleasure derived from this. Okay. So after I read all this, I thought, this is sort of circular. They're using each piece to define each other piece. And I thought, well, no wonder why this is a science. So we all experience happiness at times. And happiness is great. Happiness is a wonderful thing. We can think of things that trigger happiness. Our spouses. Most of the time, we find happiness in our spouses. Not all the time, but most of the time. Our children, sometimes. But most of the time. I don't have grandchildren yet, but from what I hear, you get happiness from them most of the time. Our parents, almost always, except if you're a teenager. And maybe not so much so. But then the list goes on. Our phones, our pets, our cars, our music, movies, shopping, a million other things. Sleeping, that's a big one for some. A few things that make me happy. My family, of course. I derive great happiness from my family. My job, well, sometimes. Sometimes our jobs can lead to happy moments. Legos. Legos always make me happy. Except when I step on those little buggers. That's not so happy. Like a knife going through your foot. Good food. I love food. Food definitely makes me happy. A little too much. A band like Disciple that can blow the roof off a festival. That makes me happy.
Chris Johnson, he's not here, but he knows what I'm talking about. If we have all this in our lives, and all these different things that make us happy, why is a society or people so depressed and angry so much? It brings me to the podcast I listened to recently. I have a small commute, hour and a half in, hour and a half out, just a little bit of time on the road. I use that time to pray, to listen, and to think. Probably think too much. Most people tell me that. But mostly I listen. I listen to my favorite pastors. I listened at one point to the Bible all the way through, which is a great way to read the Bible by listening through it. I listen to some secular stuff like history podcasts and something called TED Talks I've discovered recently. If you don't know about TED Talks, it stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. And this organization holds conferences around the world to bring subject matter experts in to talk about their expertise in 15-minute little discussions, right? So they broadcast these things in a podcast. They got all kinds of things in here, ranging from doctors on the cutting edge of cancer research talking about what they're doing to cure cancer. It was so fascinating what these people are doing. They talk about artificial intelligence, the technology guys come in and talk about the leaps and bounds and those kind of things. They talk about climate change. You get the idea. They talk about some wacky stuff, too. Some of it is sometimes disturbing. Some of it's funny, like the poets that don't rhyme. Don't quite get that one. The anarchists that come in and talk about their stuff. It's all over the place. But the one that I got me thinking about was about, you guessed it, happiness. So, sociologist, psychologist, has spent 15 years studying happiness. Of course, you looked at it from a strictly scientific perspective, discounting any hint of religion, anything like that. Strictly scientific. After 15 years and countless experiences, trials, surveys, all those things that go into research, you came to a conclusion. The conclusion was the key to happiness is not all the other stuff that we're trying to do to make ourselves happy. It is service to others. That was the conclusion. So I thought, 15 years and all of that, could have saved her a lot of time. She just could have come seen us at St. Andrews and we would have told her. Well, sort of. So let's look at her findings a little bit, and here's sort of my twist on this. Some things I haven't considered before. She's discovered that service to others is really, service to others only brought about true happiness done a certain way. And what she did is she started looking at philanthropists and their generous giving of money to their selected causes and what difference that made in their level of happiness. She had all the people she knew donate to causes that had never donated to causes. And she encouraged everybody she knew to give, and they did. But they all had the same result. Surprisingly, they found little correlation between her philanthropist, colleagues, and friends with happiness. It was a temporary thing, a sense of satisfaction that, hey, I'm a good person, I did this, but it wasn't lasting. They went back to their default, whatever their default was, depression, loneliness, all of those things that are where we naturally are when we're not in these moments of happiness. So, she says during the podcast that she was speaking with her accountant one day, and he asked if she truly believed that this charitable giving thing was a secret to happiness stuff. And why, if it is, she didn't give anything. And she indicated that she knew it was the right thing to do, but for some reason, she just didn't want to. Sound familiar? We have a tendency to know what the right thing to do is, but we just like doing it. There's resistance, there's reluctance to do these things. So why is that? Well, why don't we get measurable lasting happiness from donations? We're serving others, we're helping, improving, changing something, or helping someone somewhere for the better. Why is this the outcome? And that's what she indicates she had a minor epiphany that there's something missing here, and it's called relationship. That's interesting. So she changed, and I think we all knew this, and relationship is a key component. She then changed her approach and started serving in a more personal way, looking at people who serve in a way that's more intimate. And she found happiness in these people. She found a degree of happiness in herself when she and her friends adopted a refugee family from Canada, she's Canadian, and served them to help them begin a new life in their new home. And she discovered that that brought a great fulfillment of happiness serving them, and to the point where they became part of her extended family and changed their lives. So that's all great. And she wraps up her presentation with the charge to serve others, form relationships, and find happiness. So if this is the key, then, why don't more people serve others in this way? Why do we live in communities that we never know our neighbors and we never even talk to them? Why does this exist this way? The world should be a lot better place if this is the answer. So why isn't it the answer? So I thought about it, I thought, they're sort of chasing the wrong thing for the wrong reasons, but maybe in slightly the right way. What if we as Christians understand, what we need as Christians need to understand and need to know is the goal is not happiness, it's something called joy. And joy is what we need to focus on, and God is what we need to focus on. And that's the piece missing from her study, is the God and the joy piece. So what is joy? Again, the online definition describes it as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. So that's interesting. Great pleasure and great happiness. Just by this definition, we can see that joy is something greater, something more than happiness alone. Joy comes from God, not human emotion. Joy is lasting. It is a state of mind that is, as scripture we read earlier says, given by God to us. It's the missing piece from the conclusions of the study. When we serve God through serving others, we find the joy that God delivers. That's the piece. When we serve God through serving others, we will find the joy that God delivers. Scripture tells us this only happens in the context of faith. Without faith, our service is dead. As Pastor Mark has surmised recently, when we attempt to perform service by our own hands, the result can be often something less than what we wanted. I don't know how many times I've tried to help somebody on my own, and it's just gone wrong. It doesn't have the desired result. Sometimes you actually make things worse through doing things this way. Like, I've watched people try to do things this way and watched it go wrong. In many cases, the wrong part of it is the service being performed is being performed for the wrong reasons. It's to make us feel like good people, make us feel better about ourselves, be able to look at something and say, look what I did, look how good I am. And as it said, without God, you can do nothing, but with Him, you can do great things. So the second part of the study showed was spot on. Service is about relationships. So, again, it comes from God. Joy comes from deep relationship with Jesus. Service is how we get there. I've experienced this with myself lately. My pondering all this started in Big Creek when I went on the mission trip last year. And my understanding of it all solidified in thinking about this sermon and writing this sermon. My family and I have always felt a connection to St. Andrew, even when we were away in Germany and confusing period when we got back and just coming home. But up till now, I've never felt a stronger connection to the church and all of you. So why is it different now? We've been going to this church on and off for 19 years. What's the difference between now and 5 years ago or 10 years ago? The difference is my service to God has resulted in a deeper relationship with Him, and by extension, a deeper relationship with the church. It's all connected. There's now a tangible bond between me and those who serve in Big Creek that wasn't there before. So you might say that occurs anytime a group travels and performs actions together and bonds. But this is different. What I believe is Jesus working on me. It's made me want it to do more. I think I've seen that desire to start doing more, manifested more in St. Andrews as we go on mission trips, as we serve together. It certainly has for me. And I get the same sense, I don't want to call it a feeling, but a sense, because it's deeper than a feeling, when I talk about God, Jesus, and the Bible. So, quick story here. I was speaking with a coworker of mine the other day. She saw a Bible on my desk and asked if I could guess what her spiritual gift was. So I have to admit, I wasn't totally up to speed on all the spiritual gifts and what they are. I had to go sit with her and look them up. So I sort of got it, I got to work on that part. But after we sort of talked it through, she admitted that she had started in the church when she was younger and later sort of fell away. But she was still a spiritual person. So we sat and talked for over an hour about that, and I shared my testimony with her, I shared my faith, we talked it all through. And what struck me is what she said at the end. She said, "Chris, you should have seen the change in you that happened when we started talking." So when I go to work, I'm like everybody else. I'm sort of going to work, not much happiness and doing that, not much joy. But she said, when we started about talking about these things, that I lit up like a light was turned on in me. And I thought it was interesting that she noticed that. And what was changing in me when that happened. And it's much like what's happening now. I feel this sense of joy, this feeling, talking and sharing. And the only way I can explain it, that feeling, is joy. It's that. As much as you know, I recently started teaching Sunday school for the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. Yeah, never done anything like this before. So when I first raised my hand and said, "Sure, I'll do it," I was terrified. I didn't know how this was going to go. I hadn't done this before, much like doing this now. So hopefully the students didn't catch on to this pair because they can sense stuff like this. They know. But anyway, I dove in, and what has quickly happened, and what I realized a little while ago, was that this has quickly become my favorite hour of the week. I love going in and talking to them, and interacting with them, and sharing what I've learned about joy, about the gospel, and how it can change your life. I actually love this moment of the week because of that sense, that joy that I'm feeling and sharing, and serving God. And that's the peace. This is all in the service of God. That's what's important. And what I want more of. So in conclusion, it's all about the joy. Pursuing happiness is fine. But if you really want to change your default setting, go out, serve God, and experience His joy. Leave the happiness to the scientists. We have something far greater. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, help us overcome our inhibitions and help us serve you with passion and joy. Help us glorify your name in all that we do. Change our hearts from the self-centered and the self-serving to God-serving. Help us know your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.